بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. سيدنا الشارع وبلاب الدادة الشيخ حضرة عارف بالله حكيم محمد أختر صاحب رحمة الله عليه. The title of which is نا يجا مومينا أتا هو رهي هي. It is word from my lips but actually no reality at all. We hope through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tfadhal and karam and the tawajju of Hazrat that inshallah it will have some effect on us.
Chohar dam khuda par fida ho rahe hai wo fani buto se juda ho rahe hai. Chohar dam khuda par fida ho rahe hai wo fani buto se juda ho rahe hai. Wo khamre kohan to qawi tar hai lekin naye jamo meena ata ho rahe hai. Wo khamre kohan to qawi tar hai lekin na ye jamo meena ata ho rahe hai. Kabhi qalb dekar kabhi qalb dekar kabhi jaan dekar rahe ishq mein ba wafa ho rahe hai. Kabhi qalb dekar kabhi jaan dekar rahe ishq mein ba wafa ho rahe hai. Chohar dam khuda par fida ho rahe hai wo fani buto se juda ho rahe hai. خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم اب اہل صدقہ صفا ہو رہے ہیں. خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم اب اہل صدقہ صفا ہو رہے ہیں. کبھی پیر را کبھی پی رہا ہے لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے ہے. کبھی پی رہے ہے لہو آرزو کا مٹا کر خودی با خدا ہو رہے ہے. تجھے ہو مبارک تجھے ہو مبارک مبارک یہ اشک ندامت نئے باب الفت کے واہ ہو رہے ہیں. تجھے ہو مبارک یہ اشک ندامت نئے باب الفت کے واہ ہو رہے ہیں. چوہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں وہ فانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں. یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائقوں پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے ہیں. یہ شان کرم ہے کہ نالائقوں پر کرم ان کے ہر دم عطا ہو رہے ہیں. محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہے ہیں. محبت کی اختر کرامت تو دیکھو کہ سلطان ہو کر گدا ہو رہے ہیں، جو ہر دم خدا پر فدا ہو رہے ہیں، وہ پانی بتوں سے جدا ہو رہے ہیں، تجھے ہو مبارک یہ اشک ندامت، نہ یہ باب الفت کے وا ہو رہے ہیں.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد. Beautiful poem of our Dada Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. Na ye ja mu'mina ata ho rahe hai. A person who is getting new cups, goblets, the wine of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says, jo har dam khuda par fida ho rahe hai. A person who sacrifices all the time, at every moment, he's sacrificing his life on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then wafani buto se juda ho rahe hai. This person will distance himself from the temporary idols of this world. All, whether it is a woman, the beautiful woman of this world, or whether it is a person becoming too involved in his business all the time, or in today's times running after holidays, smart, big holidays, it becomes a maqsad and object of a person's life. So the person who becomes more closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find himself automatically distancing himself from all of these idols in the world, all of these other attractions in this world, and now he doesn't become so involved in them, and he turns his attention away from them. Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh mentions that he says you get a buck, a deer, from which a person takes out musk. So this deer, it knows that it has got musk. There's a certain time of the year when this musk comes out. So this deer knows I've got this musk in me. So during that time of the year, the deer, it doesn't sleep on the floor, it doesn't sleep normally. It sleeps standing up. So if it has to hear the sound of any hunter, immediately it's able to run away. Because it realizes I've got something very valuable in me, and people will die to take away this musk from me. So if a person who realizes he has got Allah in his heart, or a person has got Iman in his heart, and he realizes there are enemies outside, shaitan, nafs, they are trying to attack that person. So this person, obviously, he will be an intelligent person. I must protect my Iman. I can't let my Iman just go to waste like this. And slowly from all of these temporary things of this world, his heart will be disinclined, and he will be turning more towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he came to South Africa many times, and all throughout his bayan, one main thing he used to say, that he says especially this love, illicit love affairs, a person gives it up for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I guarantee you that the highest level of siddiqiyat a person will reach. He says, I want all my friends to reach the highest level. Allah ta'ala make us that our nisbat is towards Hazrat, that Allah makes us reach that level. And Hazrat used to make dua every day, all the time his duas, that Allah ta'ala my akhtar and his friends and all those under his muta'alliqin, may Allah ta'ala make them reach the awliya siddiqin ke khatta intiha, the last level. Hazrat says so much so that you can actually see the bab of nabuwat, the door of nabuwat after that. So is that possible to go any higher? He says, this is what I want my friends to reach. And he says the main thing is to look after your eyes, to stay away from all haram desires of a person. And Hazrat used to say that even 1 second, a person is getting some khushi, a person must make tawbah for the day. Any little bit of enjoyment the nafs is getting. And we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, protect us from the small amount of khushi and happiness which our nafs is getting. Just a small glance a person is taking, or that person is getting the smell of the secretary walking past, or that lady walking past. In every matter, a person has to be very, very careful and be very guarding over his nafs all the time. May Allah give us all the reality. Hazrat says, wa khamre kuhan to qawitar hai. Lekin, na ye jam o meena ata ho rahe hai. Surely old wine is very, very strong and potent, is very, very good. But the one who sacrifices his desires for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is receiving new cups and goblets of the wine and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means he's got the old pleasure also, and renewed pleasure he's getting all the time. Allah is giving him more and more pleasure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being such, which will never come to an end. And Allah is full of beauty. And Allah's beauty is just the greatest. No person can ever reach the limit of it. So a person who sacrifices his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at every moment Allah is giving him a new enjoyment. What enjoyment a person gets, may Allah give us the reality of these enjoyments. Tabhi qalb dekar, tabhi jaan dekar. Sometimes he gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his heart. And sometimes he gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his life. Raah-e-ishq mein ba-wafa ho rahe hai. In this path of ishq, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows that he is a loyal person. I am a loyal person. And when a person is loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is loyal to a person. Allah ta'ala will never leave that person in the lurch. Any other person in this world, no matter how much you love them, when a certain time comes in a person's life, when there's some problems, then the person will immediately leave you and turn away from you. As it was said in Damascus, there was a certain time when people were involved in ishq majazi, love affairs, especially with young boys, homosexuality. Allah ta'ala sent droughts and conditions upon the people. And then there was no food at all. Then people were asked, that, are you prepared now to get that beautiful boy, lad, or that girl you were running after, or you prefer a loaf of bread? At that time, he says, the aql of the people came back. They realized now that how we can't manage. We don't want our asiks and our lovers. We want that loaf of bread. We want that glass of water. Allah is giving us great, great bounties. We don't appreciate them. And that's why a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat says, if we must become ba-wafa, we must become loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will never leave us in the lurch. Anyone else, he is not loyal. We are not loyal to them. They are not loyal to us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that friend who will always be with a person in the dunya also, in the qabr also, on the day of qiyamah also, forever and forever in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with a person. Hazrat says, خوشی اپنی ان کی خوشی پر لٹا کر ہم اب اہل صدق و صفا ہو رہے ہیں. When we will sacrifice our desires and our pleasures for the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will become the people of the truth, اہل صدق and صفا, pure people, people whose hearts are pure and people who are truthful. We say لا الہ الا اللہ, but we are not actually truthful in our claims. And Allah ta'ala says, كونوا مع الصادقين, stay in the company of those who are truthful, who speak the truth. What they are saying, they have got reality within themselves. May Allah make us amongst those people. So he says, when we sacrifice our desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will become people of real devotion, people of the truth, and people of purity. Our hearts will become pure. Kabhi pi rahe hai lahu arzu ka, mita kar khudi ba khuda ho rahe hai. Sometimes we drink the blood of our lust. That is, we sacrifice our lust and our desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the desire and the taqaza comes in a person's heart to do a certain guna, and he breaks his desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is like he's cutting himself, sacrificing himself, and the blood is coming out. And in this way, we are annihilating our nafs, and we are becoming people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are breaking our nafs, and in this way, very, very quickly, we are crossing the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, Hazrat has mentioned in his kitab, that a person can read 1,000 rakats of tahajjud namaz, which is nafal. But he is sacrificing his desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a faraz. This is far, far superior. And it will take a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala far, far greater than all the tahajjud namazes and all the nafal namazes which a person can do. This is a very, very easy way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says, Tujhe ho mubarak ki ashkiya nadamat, na ye baab-e ulfat ke wa ho rahe hai. That mubarak and blessings be to you for the tears of remorse. That when a person cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person mustn't think now only a person who committed zina or a person who did this action is a sinner. Every one of us, kullu bani adam khataun, every human being is a sinner to a certain level, to whatever level he is. If he looks into his life, he will find himself full of sins. And the hadith says khataun, bahut hi zyada khata karne wala. He's a person who makes sins and mistakes in great abundance. And the best of that person, khayrul khataeen at-tawabeen, the best of those people who make mistakes and faults are those who make tawbah in great abundance. So this is beloved to us in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter what level a person reaches, tawbah and istighfar is lazim, it's part of and parcel of his life. He has to continue making tawbah and istighfar. Whatever we do, even in our ibadat, we are not in our ibadat, we are still very, very far. Kunaz and sins in our lives, Hazrat has been speaking so much about ghibat, backbiting, how it is found in our lives. Bad nazri, how much is found in our lives. So many other gunas, that we have no control of our tongue, of our ears, our heart, how much filth and dirt we have in there. So we have to continuously make tawbah, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And as a person progresses, this is mubarak and blessings to be to you. And when a person makes a lot of tawbah, and he cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, new doors of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for a person. He gets closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person who cries before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye shane karam hai ke na ilahi ko par, karam unki har dam ata ho rahe hai. It is Allah Ta'ala's grace that on undeserving people like us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing his favors. What and what favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. One is dunyawi favors. What and what favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us every moment. and then our dini favors, just to make us of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to sit in such gatherings, to perform our salah, to be staying in company of such people, to wear a kurta in today's times. All of these things are great, great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we are not deserving at all. This is only the karam and kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhabbat ki akhtar karamat ko dekho, ke sultan hokar gada ho rahe hai. Just look at the miracle of love. Hazrat says that despite being kings, we are still humble beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This can have different meanings. One meaning is that despite a person being a king, a person is a king, but is a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he humbles himself and he becomes a beggar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's also making sajda, he's humbling himself. Or it can mean that when a person goes for hajj, how a person goes in the form of ihram, and he's, or in umrah, he's going and he becomes a beggar in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or a third meaning can be that look at the karamat and the miracle of love. Hazrat says that a person is a king, but he comes to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he humbles himself. The awliya Allah and friends of Allah ta'ala don't go to anyone, they don't humble themselves before the people of dunya. But big kings, they also had to come to the awliya Allah if they wanted to make the islah, they wanted to reform themselves. So look at big kings. When I got the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these people. So when Hazrat came to South Africa, his bayans have been written out in the 8th journey to South Africa. So he said, Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala made it such, because I spent time in the sohbat of my buzrooks and elders. I never had to humble myself before any rich person. But the people, they come of the whole world. This is the karamat, he said, that of the sohbat which I had of my sheikh. The big people of the world, government people also, they come and they come before me. And they want to learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the karamat of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The big people of the world also have to humble themselves and come before the awliya Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reality of this ashar.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Few valuable points that we came across and which I found very beneficial and hopefully for everyone. And let us listen to it with three intentions. One is to acquire the knowledge. That is also a great ibadat. Just to acquire the knowledge of it is also a great ibadat. And then it is not only the knowledge, then to practice upon it, let us make that niyat also, that we will practice upon it. By making the niyat now, we already get the sawab. And Allah give us the tawfiq to practice, then more sawab. And when we make niyat, everyone's niyat is to do it perfectly. Nobody will make a niyat that like sami'na wa sayna, that we hear and we're not going to do it, or that I'll just do it half-heartedly. When we hear the fazilat of anything, our intention is to do it properly, thoroughly. So according to that, we get the reward. When we do the amal, we know we are weak. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is better than his amal. When it comes to amal, we all find ourselves to be weak. But with the niyat, and inshallah, by the barakat of the niyat, and continuously making niyat, Allah will give us sidqi niyat, the true sincere niyat, then inshallah Allah will give us that type of amal also. And then thirdly, to convey it to others. That is also a great thing. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh and all our elders have written in detail and in length that even just conveying the talk of deen to others, perhaps we're not making amal ourselves, just conveying it, they make amal, we also get the sawab. So, but we should make amal, then it has the proper effect, then the people will make amal. But even like that, just conveying it, and surprisingly, Hazrat explained that even if we're not making amal, somebody else will make amal. And it comes in the hadith also, that convey the my message. Sometimes the one you have conveyed it to practices and understands it more better than the one who conveyed it. So we must make that niyat also, and every very easy for us to convey the message. Go home and tell our family that we have conveyed the message. Tell our friends that we have conveyed the message. And Hadrat Hadrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah, our Shaykh, used to say that tell this message to 10 people. We are not at that time that we are young and we study, we sit with our kitabs like a student going to study for imtihan. So just telling 10 people, you will remember it. Yours will become strong. and you'll get tawfiq also. You're telling continuously, you'll get tawfiq. Or your wife, particularly your children, will ask you, but Abba, you're not making amal on this. So then you'll become conscious. The wife knows you even more better. You're telling me so much, but what about you? So that will help us to make amal also. So in this way, we'll get just benefit from every side, and maximum benefit. One great point that we heard from Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in one of his bayans, he says Islam has come from the time of Adam alayhi salam, but we refer to Islam in our time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it has come to us, Allah sent it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam brought it, we have got Islam. And why did Islam come to us? Well, for the Islam, there are many meanings to it. One of it is to surrender. So we must surrender to Islam. That every law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we must surrender to it. We are weak, but we don't say sami'na wa ata'na. We say sami'na wa ata'na. We hear what your law is and we follow. Ghufranak. We are weak. We will make mistakes. We will do wrong. You forgive us, O Allah. So the Islam has come that we must surrender to Islam. Then we were born, and we were born in Islam in a Muslim home. We reverted, we came into Islam. Now when we came into Islam, so we had to surrender to Islam. Don't make Islam surrender to you. Don't change the laws of Islam to your liking. We are like, we go to an institute, a madrasa, anywhere, there are rules and regulations. So you don't take admission there and change the rules. You must fit into the system. That is what your duty is. So we have to fit into Islam. If we can try and work on this, many people, they get the understanding and they say, yes, this is right, this is what we must do. Not that we must, today we want to change Islam in various ways to suit us. We have to change in order to suit, to fit into Islam. Islam is the deen. Anyone who comes with any other way besides Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ it won't be accepted from him. And we have to fit into Islam. Otherwise, our example becomes, and this is, that we also understand, we become stronger, and whoever we can speak to, we try and make them understand. One beautiful example that is given of this, a person wanted, which is not jais, it's just an example, but a lion tattooed on his body, on his hand, wherever, which is haram, it's not jais, but it's just an example. So he went to have it tattooed, so the person who was tattooing, he pricked him with a needle, and he pained, so he jumped. Very painful. What are you making? So he said, I'm making the tail of the lion. So he said, it's too painful. You can't have a lion without a tail also. So he said, okay, we won't make the tail. So then again he pricked him, again he jumped, very painful. What are you making now? Making the ear of the lion. You can't have a lion with one ear, so leave that ear out also. Then he pricked him again. Again he pained, again he said it's very painful, what are you making? So he said, I'm making the other ear. So he said, now you can have a lion without ears also. So like that, what lion are you going to have then? So like that in Islam, we want to change Islam. To live with to insurance we must have. So take out that interest whole thing. And into insurance, there is the gambling factor also. So even gambling now, you make it permissible in that way. Then this you change, that you change, then what Islam will be left? So just like that, we must not change Islam. We have to accept Islam as it has come to us. We don't go and change Islam. Even in our own personal lives, that we were, this is now permissible, this is now permissible. And as Maulana also explained, and which is going really, really in epidemic proportions and right out of hand are the holidays story. It's going now, holidays are not holidays nearby, holidays overseas. This is an amount of money that is being spent. Also in another little booklet from the teachings of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, this booklet is written that all Muslims are complaining what conditions are on the Muslims. But if you see in this period how we behaving all these holidays, there is no halat. Muslims are enjoying, they are safe, they are protected. We got no problems whatsoever. Yeah, in South Africa also, yeah, we're staying whatever the government laws are and what is happening. No, we go. Who goes on a holiday? A person who's very happy, who's contented with everything, everything is all right, then you go for a holiday. If you got a problem, you don't go on a holiday. And the way the holidays are going and where, if you have to open up that story in the details, what and what, then if Allah's azab is not coming, what else? When we know also that how Muslims are suffering in the world, they are not having anything to eat, and we say the Jews are our enemy, these people are our enemy, those people, and we go and make them rich. And where are we spending the money? Also, somebody told very nicely how beautiful we make our kitchen. And after making the kitchen, every facility and amenity is there. Some of us, we got built cold rooms, not only a fridge, but a whole cold room, we got everything. We've got all the dry facilities built up and everything. What and what, there is a pool next to it also. Everything, but the minute we get chance to enjoy, we are going to eat out. There where you got no choice of anything. You made all the facilities for your enjoyment. The minute you get a little chance to enjoy all that, get your family together, you sit, you eat, then we are going to go and eat out there. And what we are eating there? Al-amanul hafiz. What things are, what is there, and what we are eating? Ajib. Also in that little booklet it is written, whenever a new thing comes out, lately was the Rohingya problem, when it came out a few months ago, everyone was talking, everyone was crying, everyone was making everything, and the problem is carrying on. Now nobody is speaking about it also. And ask ourselves, me, myself, are we making even dua for them? Nobody is stopping us from dua, and dua doesn't cost us 1 cent also. Are we even just making a dua for them? This is, and we are very concerned of the ummah. In that kitab also it's written, whenever such a thing happens, then, for example, Maulana will give bayan, a very dynamic bayan, what's happening, the enemies are doing this, who's behind this, there's a third force. And the minute he did that, I did my share. On the other hand, other people will go and march, other people will go and demonstrate, they'll miss their namazes in the process, men and women mixing in the marching also, everything will happen. They feel, I did my share also. A few people will go and help out also. 1, 2, 3 times we'll go. We did our share. And our lifestyle is not changing at all. What we are doing and the gunas that we are involved in, open gunas, and we are not concerned. So this is that we have to consider all these things. And we are just, and this crying also, no tears even come out. It's just a little show that we are very concerned what's happening with the ummah. Really, we are not even concerned with ourselves, what our own condition is. And what can happen tomorrow to us. And this can happen anywhere. And what our condition is, and in that kitab also it's written, when we carry on in this way, and Allah's azab comes down. People have become people who are multi-millionaires. They became beggars. They were not prepared to go and do some menial work to earn their rosy also, because they were millionaires. Now they just being beggars. And some of them just landed on the street. They were street people. That is what became to them. And these things are staring us in the face. But yet we are so indifferent. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. So we have to change our lives. We have to understand this and how much we fit into Islam. And this is even a bigger guna. One is, you say, sami'na wa ta'na, kufrana, that we listen, we obey. But we are weak, we ask your forgiveness. But this just being so indifferent and we just don't care what is happening. And especially the holiday story that is going right out of bounds. Reasonable something also, that also, it's reported, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or it's a saying, that siyahatu ummati al-jihadu fi sabilillah. My ummah's touring. And that is also not a holiday. There is no place for holiday. My ummah's touring is to strive in the path of Allah. A person strives in the path of Allah, that is what my ummah, that is their siyahat, little but outing of theirs. That they strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Another very important point in one of kitabs about Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and his teaching and his making tarbiyah. Very, very important. Hazrat made a great difference, which we mention also, but Hazrat made it very elucidated it, made it clarified it very well, that there are things which are objectives in life, maqsood, and those are the things that we must do. Then there are other things which are not the objectives of life. They are not necessary, but we fall more behind those things. Like, for example, in a home, what is a home? That there must be, in the Quran Sharif, the Quran Sharif says a home that you find sukoon in the house. Happiness, that is what you find in your home. Your wife also, لَتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you find sukoon in your wife. But generally, there is just an example I'm giving, that we're not worried of getting that sukoon. In a house, what we are worried? The beauty of the house. We are worried the garden must be very nice. We are worried this must be right, that must be right. But that peace in the house, that we are not worried about. And the way to get that peace, that has been also clearly defined for us. Your wife is also, you find peace and happiness in your wife. That we are not worried. We are worried that what clothes she must wear, what type of a woman she must be. But that happiness that you are supposed to find, that heart's contentment in your wife, and how to get that, that we are not worried. So anyway, what Hazrat actually explained was, in deen, in our deen, the one thing is that we have to do what Allah has commanded us. That is maqsood. And fair maqsood is that nice feeling when we make ibadat. You enjoy making your ibadat, your zikr, your tilawat, making dua, you are crying. All that nice feeling you get, that is not required at all. And those things are not in our choice also. You can't bring that nice feeling within you. That is Allah gives it. And we have not been made responsible for that either. That you must feel nice. What we have been made responsible and which is in our ikhtiyar, what we can do, is that we fulfill the command of Allah. Whether I enjoy it or not, I must get up for Fajr. I must go to the masjid. I must make my namaz with Jamaat. Try and do it the best. Try and make it with Takbir-e-Ula properly. That is what I am responsible. And that Allah has given me that choice to do. So that is what we must do. And we fall behind that nice feeling that we get. That I went ijtima, how I enjoy. But the ijtima, really the object is to go out in the path of Allah. But I didn't go out, I was eating all the chips and from the shops and all that. Saw all my friends, met with them, felt very nice there, all the things. So I'm feeling very nice. That's not the object at all. The object was to bring deen in one's life, to go out in the path of Allah. So this is a very important thing also, that Hazrat says, many of us, we fall behind the things which are not the objectives. And we waste our time in there, and falling in that, whether you get it, it's not going to give you any progress to Allah. And if you don't get it, it's not going to keep you away from any progress either. But if you're doing what Allah has commanded and which is in our choice, that we will get progress. And if we don't do that, then there are strict warnings. And this little punishments which Allah sends is also the mercy of Allah. That to wake us up, like you are enjoying a deep sleep and your alarm clock goes off. That alarm clock is a mercy, otherwise you're not going to be on time for job, you'll get fired. So though that alarm clock like disturbed you, you are having a good, very nice dream, and there the alarm clock went off. Just when you were going to enjoy what you were seeing in your dream, there the alarm clock went off. Or when it went off, you're tired still. Why did the alarm clock go off? But that is a mercy. It's going to, now you, all your job and all your work, what you were supposed to do, so Allah sends little things to remind us. And that is also a mercy of Allah Ta'ala, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that we can turn back to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So that is also one very important thing which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has taught us. Another very great thing which Hazrat has taught us, and in the An-Nasiha which will come out, this article is in there also, and we should try and read that article, it's given more in detail there. Hazrat explained that many times we aspire and endeavor for those things which are not within our limits. You can never reach that. It's out of your limit. But you're making effort for that. While on the other side, those things which you can make effort for, and where you can reach, that you don't make effort for that. One broad example of that is Nabuwat. It's impossible a person can become a Nabi now, there is no question. But if any person thinks that what the Nabi is, the closeness of Allah, I also must become a Nabi. Na'uzubillah, that is haram also, it's impossible also. To become a Sahabi is out of the question. We can't become a Sahabi. Sahabi will be that person who was in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who got the sohbet of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is impossible today. Their example is there. We have to try and emulate that example. But don't think I can become a Sahabi. Don't think I can become a Nabi. That's out of the question. Like that, there are other things also which are beyond our capacity. Like for example, if I'm not beautiful, handsome. Somebody else is, I must become handsome now. So I start going to beauty parlors. Women, even men go now. Hey, women also all the time beauty parlors. No, you accept yourself as you are. Don't you worry about those things. They are not the maqsood of life. They are not in your choice also. Yes, your akhlaq, to correct your akhlaq, that is in your choice. But that no attention. Who pays attention to correct the akhlaq? How my dressing is, and I must be attractive, and people must be attracted to me. That we are so worried about. And that is not the objective, and we can't. You know, same way, more easier to understand that I want to be tall. You can't be tall. Allah made you short, you are short. You are middle, average height, you are average height. So don't try now and wear high heels and an extra heel you put on and you want to be a woman with all the high heels. You're a short lady, you're a short lady. You don't now have to put all that high heels and become taller. You can't. That's not in your choice. Do what is in your choice, what you can. Be hard working, be honest, be truthful. Those things are within you. But nobody's thoughts go to these things. That what we have to be doing, we must be doing that. And we are always, and that makes you now depressed, despondent. I'm not beautiful like that woman. I'm not handsome like that man. I'm not like this. This is not in your choice. Just accept it. What Allah has given, made you, and who has made you? Allah is your maker. You're unhappy with Allah is your maker. Whatever your looks are, Allah is your maker. You be happy and content. Who has made me? Allah has made me. In the same way, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, and this is also very, very important. My wife, Allah has given her to me. She's not beautiful, no problem. Who gave her to you? Allah gave her to you. So when Allah gave her, be happy with you. She's not so beautiful, not so, no problem. But she's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Ye meri Layla, Mawla ki ata ki hui hai. This my Layla, Mawla gave her to me. So be happy with her. Why now you want the, you're not so beautiful? And then the worst we pass remark hurt her feelings. And really you are not hurting her feelings. Allah is taking off my bandi and you talking to her. I gave you in marriage and now you breaking her heart. That you not fit for me and you are like this and you are like that. You don't cook right. You don't know how to cook. You are not beautiful. You are fat. You are short and you are ugly. You are black and you are ugly. No, that is not at all. So what you can do, your wife, you make effort, her akhlaq comes right. She's a pious lady. She endeavors to observe the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Those are the things. You have ta'aleem in your house. You make dua for her. Many of our problems, ask ourselves if we make one's dua. We admit that we can't, we are spoilers. We are breakers. Allah is the maker. But if we ask Allah to make it for us, that I got a problem with my children, Allah save us all. I got a problem with my wife, with my family. Do we may ever make dua? And that is the first place we must go to. Allah is the doer. So that is also one very important thing, that we make dua for everyone. We got our workers. We're not happy with a worker. If we make dua, Ya Allah, you make him to be that he is right and he works right, that he is happy with me, I'm happy with him. You have a good working environment. Do we ever make duas also? Whereas the first thing of a mu'min is to make dua. And when we can, get up for tahajjud. Make tahajjud namaz. And then make dua to Allah. Make Allah happy first. Then ask Allah Ta'ala. Come to the masjid. Give some sadaqah. Then keep a roza. And then ask Allah Ta'ala. So the real solution, we haven't got it. It's by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is the one. So first make Allah happy. And then you take from Allah Ta'ala. And if there isn't the occasion, it's an emergency. Then as you are now doing what you have to, you are rushing to the hospital, there's a fire, Allah protect us all. You are calling the people, the fire brigade. But in the meantime, with that, your heart is turned to Allah. You seem to all the intizam also, but your heart be turned to Allah Ta'ala. And all that can only happen when we have turned our hearts to Allah normally. And also that when we turn our hearts to Allah Ta'ala, it comes clearly in the hadith. At the time of a problem, a person cries to Allah, the malaika also say strange voice. We never heard this voice before. So had we been connected, they know exactly. Like we also know, somebody comes and visit, how just when they come, we know it's these people, this family, because we know them. Strangers come, who is this? These are strangers. Or on your ID, on your phone, you see the number, you know exactly who is it. A private, who is this now? And if it's a bit late at night, you're hesitant to even take the call. Who is this calling? It's a private number, and he's calling at night, and you don't want to take the call also. So if we got that contact with Allah Ta'ala, then the malaika, oh, this voice we know. Oh, he's got an emergency. What's his emergency? Let us see to it. So Allah, give us tawfiq. And there are a few other valuable points also which Hazrat Maulana has, his teachings were. Very, very ajeeb how his teachings were, that Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we can bring these things and understand them. And these points, Allah give tawfiq, we will repeat them a few times because they are very important. And with more explanation, as Allah gives us tawfiq, that it can come into our lives and we can... Otherwise, a person makes whole life effort on a thing which was not necessary. And now when he comes to his mort, now he realizes you are making whole life effort on an imitation thing. When you come to your mort, you realize, oh, that was imitation. Now, the real thing is this, what I had to do. So if we can come to understand that what is, what are the objectives, what are the things as far as deen is concerned, and this is in dunya things also. If we get it right in deen, it will help us in dunya things also. Like for example, a car. What is the object in the car? Some people, just the exaggeration, hopefully there is nobody like that, stupid like me, that just the hooter must be nice. Hooter must sound nice. A little musical tone or something, the hooter. That's not the object of the object of the car is something else. And today, which is a reality, mags they must be. And all the other things, those are not the objects. A good car, nice, comfortable, which takes you from point A to B, and you understand the car nicely, you can drive it nicely, that is the object. You, your family can sit nicely. Not all the hooter sound and the mags and all the extras and the bumpers and all the... Today, how many of and how much money we spend on that? And those are not the objectives. The real objective, and if we understand the real objective, we will save so much money. On all those extras, how much of money is going? And in the same way, as far as deen is concerned, how much of our energy, how much of our time is all going on unnecessary things? If we can get this right, it will bring peace in our lives. Even a non-Muslim, if he understands what is the object and what are not the objectives, his life will also become peaceful. And a mu'min, what iman, what to say about him, how pleasant won't his life become? Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Also, Hazrat has explained one other very important point, that the nature of a person, what your nature is, some people have got a lot of love in them. So Hazrat explained that the work of the sheikh, when somebody comes to him, and you know, and that has to be a sheikh also, who we are far, far from it, we don't fit one iota where Hazrat Muhammad Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, and he has been the mujaddid of tasawwuf after centuries. Many, many centuries have passed, and tasawwuf went completely in the wrong direction. And the wrong things, even the mashayikh of the time, and Hazrat writes, the jahil Sufis, ignorant Sufis, they made all the things which are not important, they made that the important things in their khanqa. And all were just engaged with all other things, like various types of wazifas and zikrs, etc. Hazrat says that was many other things like that, the mujahada also, which they made their murids make, which were not necessary also. That was just the Sufis of before times did those things so that it was a necessity of that time. But afterwards, the Sufis made those things their objectives. reading lot of wazifas, Hazrat explains that generally Muslims understand, all Muslims, that our aqaid must be correct, our ibadat must be correct. Namaz, this must be in place. Person doesn't read namaz, wrong namaz, and this is not right. Your aqidahs are not, and today that is a very important thing. The aqidahs, how many wrong people, whatever, what they are doing, to watch our aqidahs is one very, very important thing. Then they say there are few alims, few, who will pay attention to muamalat, that our financial matters must be correct. Otherwise, by and large, we don't think how to do business, we just start business. And how we see others doing, or what the riwaj in our country, how the people are doing, we just follow suit. Whether it's in conformity with Sharia or not, we not worry. Whether our money we are earning is halal or not, we get a job at a bank, we start a bank, we start working there. Whether that money of ours is halal or not, we not concerned. We make an investment. And today everything is Sharia compliant. And everything is kosher. So it's fine. But we don't find out whether it is fine or not. So that is some few alims, he says, I worried about that. And then he says, that some Sufis, some mashayikh, who are in the khankas, they worry about akhlaq, that akhlaq must come right. But he says, very, very few in the world are worried about muasharat, that how our society, how, and the sum total of hadrat, of muasharat, means that you must not inconvenience, hurt, put anyone to any difficulty, inconvenience. That is the sum total. But that is still, whatever gathering we have, almost every gathering, a paper will come to the MC or somebody, that this guy is blocking the traffic, this guy is blocking the emergency lane, this guy is parked in front of a non-Muslim's gate. Hazrat says, this is the worst. Still we will find so many people. It just, we don't understand. You'll go till the door of the masjid, and at the door you start a discussion. And sometimes you don't realize somebody else started it, and before you know, you see the traffic has piled up already. Four or five people want to pass, you are blocking them all. And this is happening, and this, Hazrat says, is the most important thing. He say the other things are hukukullah, most of the things. Allah Ta'ala will, and Allah is very forgiving. But with hukukul ibad, Allah is very just in that. And He won't forgive till that person has forgiven. In that, as Maulana said, that biting is a thing. Lying is such a thing. The tongue today is right out of control. So today is the time, like we're going with the car. And two cars will park next to one on the street, and the drivers are talking to one another, and other people want to pass, and some people just don't care, they don't see that the others, or they know, but they don't worry, our conversation must first be finished, then, or at the gate we stop there, and we are busy talking, now the whole road is blocked. So all these things, Hazrat said, that's a very, and he says, if this comes right, then all the other things will also come right. And Hazrat's whole effort, in fact, Hazrat used to say, if you want to become a human being, you come here. If you want to become what so-called Sufi, lot of wazifas and lot of nafils, etc., and lot of muraqabas, you go somewhere else. But if you want to become an insan, and this is what is an insan. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of that also. And one very ajeeb point Hazrat has explained, that Allah Ta'ala said, wa innaka, addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. This ayat today is only left for us Maulvis to make bayan on it. That what was the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was not the object of that at all. The object Allah told that, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you have got the most honorable and highest akhlaq. So the Shaykh has to also have that akhlaq. Today we are zero, minus in all those things. And then for the ummah is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That akhlaq which Allah gave to one Hindu or a Jew, that he explained in one jalsa, that the only person, a Hindu or a Jew, the only person in the world that nobody can put a fingertip, a pin on his character in any part whatsoever, is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His akhlaq, his character, how Allah Ta'ala, of course, we can, as I said,
Anbiya alayhi salat, where can we? And Sayyidul Anbiya, and we think that we can be like him. Yeah, we keep him, he's our model. And we try and follow him as much as we can. But what Allah had blessed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with, it's out of our reach completely. But anyway, to some extent, a mother today, a father today, we must be able to tell our children, our married daughter, you be a mother like, you be a wife like me. You be a mother like me. Can we say that? The father today must tell his married son, you be a father like I was a father to you. Can we say that? You be like me. Sahaba were made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they should say go, that you become like us. That is what we want you to become like us. Today we can't say that. We ourselves are. I'm rotten. How can I tell somebody else? So this is very important. And then if we really get the understanding, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat explains that nobody, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah has only made us responsible for that which we can do. That is all. But today we have put our goals in the wrong direction. Things which are not our objectives, enjoyment in our ibadat. So then we find deen is difficult. I'm not getting that enjoyment. Or a thing which is was not my object, and I want to reach there. The deen is difficult. No, deen, Allah has made that how much you can do, so much Allah made you responsible. If we understand that, and then ad-deenu yusrun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deen is easy. But if we approach deen in the correct way, usually give that example, you got a puncture, and you don't know how to change the wheel. And you take a chisel and a 4-pound hammer, and you start knocking off the balls. And then you get some 5-10 people to hold the car up for you. And what a mess you will make. But if you just learn how to do it, you can be an old man, you can be having heart problem, and with all the gadgets available today, you can take off the balls also from your cigarette lighter. You can connect there and it will loosen the balls, it will pump, raise your car also, and with little to slowly, you can change it easily and comfortably. Deen is exactly the same. If we approach deen in the right, today many people, deen is too bitter, deen is too hard, too difficult. We have chosen the wrong way of presenting deen. So how Nabi Ali, if we think of what, who the Sahaba, the majority of them before Islam was, and what they became after they accepted Islam, we can't, so to say, we can't believe this had happened. What a transformation. So today, if we also approach deen, and this is what we have to learn, to approach deen in the correct way. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah has only made us responsible for that which we can do. And the whole of deen, we can do, but just get it right. Today we made the things which are not objectives, objectives which are impossible. Things which are out of our reach, beyond our reach, we made that our. So now deen is very difficult. Deen is very hard. And if we take it to that level, that how much I can do, I'm responsible for that. Then that is easy. So for example, love Allah Ta'ala has put in a person. All now that has to be done, that love, you got it for material things, you got it for other women, the direction must be. Don't take out that love from that person. Change the direction. Izala maqsood nahi, imala maqsood hai. Don't remove that love, that this love is very bad. No. Just say, turn it to Allah Ta'ala, turn it to deen. That is all. Make that lovable. And there is enough fazail hadith of all the things that, what great virtues there are in everything. So your love will grow in that way. A person has got anger. Don't try and take out the anger from that person. He is getting angry for material things. He is getting angry because he, you have hurt him, you attacked him. His personality you attacked. Now that anger, just turn it for Allah Ta'ala's sake. For a person, for deen, he has done something wrong in deen. Let his anger come out there. Let his anger come out on the wrong things. Today our anger we have got, but we'll take it out. The child broke a cup, for example. The wife, something in the house, she spoiled it, it went off, food she burnt, and we get so cross. Or she left the light on, or whatever else she did, we get angry on that. She didn't read her namaz? No, it doesn't matter. She didn't make her tilawat? It doesn't matter. So the anger must be turned in the right direction. That is all. A person hasn't got love. There are certain people who just haven't got the madda of love. No problem. You don't have it, you don't have it. Now you just have to make your ibadat. If you don't love making ibadat because you haven't got the quality of love in you, lust is different. Many of us only have got lust. And we got no love. You won't show love to your wife. You just want yourself to be satisfied. Be satisfied. For that time, you just to say a few sweet words. But it is not really that you're feeling your wife is like that. Just you making her happy for the occasion that she must satisfy you. It's only your lust you are after. So you got no love. No problem, you haven't got love. It's your nature. Allah didn't put a share of love in you, but you fulfill the commands of Allah, what you have to do. Even without love, you fulfill them. And if you do, gradually, you can build the quality of love, which normally is not possible also. Hazrat said, Allah has put intelligence. Somebody is an intelligent person. And Allah, you haven't got that intelligence, you haven't got it. Don't try and, work hard, study hard, do all your things hard, but you haven't got that intelligence, you haven't got it. Allah did it. Now you fighting to get that intelligence, now you think it's very hard. No, you're not responsible for that. What you are responsible, and everyone has got his limits. And everyone, of course, and Hazrat Muhammad Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, taking from the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every sahabi, according to his nature, he treated him. And after they became perfect, the Islam was made perfect, yet they were not equal. This one excelled in that field. This one excelled in that field. The same way, the murids also, when they become, if the Islam is made properly and completely, doesn't mean that they're all going to be perfect in qiraat, all going to be perfect in tawazu, all going to be perfect in sincerity. No, everyone, according to his, he will be like that. But he has reached tatmeel, he has reached perfection. But he's going to be, they will be different. And that is human nature. All humans can never be the same. If we all had the same desires, we all should be driving Volkswagen Beetles. Everyone, how boring shouldn't it be? And we all should be wearing the same clothes all the time. How should we? And we all should be the same faces also. Not like that. Everyone is different. Everyone's fingerprint is different. Everyone's eye, all that is different. Everyone's voice is different. Everyone's temperament is also different. So everyone, according to what he is, that is what you have, to bake perfection, what you have got. If everyone was just a baker, and we only had bakers everywhere, and no grocery shops, no carpenters, no plumbers, what should happen? Somebody is a plumber, Mubarak, he has to do his plumbing work. Somebody is a carpenter, Mubarak, he was going. Don't make all carpenters, and don't make all plumbers. Everyone. So, and the plumber in his field will reach perfection, but he's not equal to a carpenter. And the carpenter will reach his perfection, and he's not equal to a doctor. Everyone in his field appreciate and understand the difference. What a man Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was. And we can get some understanding if we follow those who followed with him. And if we read his kitabs. And those who analyzed Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. Very few people even recognized him. Those who recognized him, they said the first thing before he was a mu'min and a Muslim, he was a human being. And that is what we have to become, human beings. That we are feeling for other people as Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.